So in this series, we're going to travel around. We're going to the ancient past, recent past, maybe even to the future just a bit. So we can learn about ourselves, we can learn about God. And maybe, just maybe, we can get a little bit more glimpse of what it is like to live with the perspective of the eternal now. So whether you want to quantum leap, whether you want to time warp, or just jump into your TARDIS, that's for you Doctor Who fans, it's time to begin our journey. So here we go. You ready? All right, let's go. Okay, we're going to go. All right, here we're going. Okay, everybody doing okay? Everybody okay? All right, well, we look around to discover that we are in prison. So, okay, I got to have my slide guy. There you go. It stops right there. There you go. We look around and we discover that we are in prison. And from the looks of things, it's a long time ago. And there are three men with us. One of them is interpreting the other two prisoners' dreams. And one of the prisoners is blessed by the interpretation of this dream, and the other is not so much. And the interpreter asks the man who was blessed for a favor. He says, "But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." Who is this person? Joseph. Joseph, the interpreter of dreams. And he tells him to remember. And I've been thinking a lot about remembering. I don't have a great memory, and I've been trying to go back into my childhood and remember more. I always am a kind of a think-ahead person. So I'm trying to learn the power of remembering. And it holds a great key to our lives. It mattered back then to remember. It matters for us today to remember. It'll happen in the future. It'll be important for people to remember. But I'm not sure we're doing so well at it. Remembering is important because it interprets our past, it interprets our present, and it guides us and shapes us for the course for the future. Oh, I'm just getting a funny feeling again. Must be time to time warp. Are you ready? All right, let's see how well we're doing here. Time warp. Okay, exactly. We find ourselves next to a man and his three sons. They are looking up at a rainbow in the sky, and they are simply amazed by this rainbow. It's like they haven't ever seen a rainbow before. And then a voice from beyond speaks, and he says, "This is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." Who is this man? Noah. See, this time it was God's turn to ask someone to remember. And he does it in a way that they will never forget. He gives them a visual reminder, a rainbow. You know, a number of people can trace their heritage back to the Mayflower in our country. But you know, we as a body of Christ, we can go back to the Ark, can't we? I know different theologians, different perspectives have different, just, you know, how literal some of that interpretation of the Bible is. But really, when it comes down to it, that's our family. That's where we spring from. If you're not related to Noah in his family, then you might be related to somebody else in the Ark, and that's probably not a good sign. This isn't just about history. That's the important thing when we come to the Bible. We have to see it not just as history. We have to see it as our family heritage. Oh, hold on. It's time to time jump again. Are you ready? Here we go. We look around and we see thousands of people. And one man is giving them a speech. And he says, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, and as he has done for you, and until they too have been taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, so this is a little bit harder. Who's the guy giving the speech? Joshua, right? And here's that word, remember, again. Now, often in the Bible, the word remember is associated with some form of covenant. A covenant is a promise, and it's a reminder to them of the promise they made, of the agreement both parties have with one another. This is a reminder. See, here's the covenant. You signed the covenant. Remember? Remembering, I think, in the Bible was much more of an action word than we see it today. It's not just a mental accomplishment. It's more than that. Remembering determines how you go forward, how you live. Just the opposite is true. When they forgot, it was like forsaking. We don't think of it that way today. But back then, when they forgot God, oh yeah, God, it was forsaking God. So when you remember God, it's our devotion to Him. When we forget God, it's forsaking God. At least that's how they saw that, these terms back then. Okay, here we go again. Are you ready? Time to time warp. Okay, here we go. We look down and we seem to be back in the present. We're watching a television show. But we look up at our smartphone and it says August 2nd, 2019. So apparently we've jumped just a few days, 4 days into the future. And we're watching a TV show. It's kind of a documentary about memory. And it says that only 17% of web page views last longer than 4 seconds. 17%. And only 4% of views last longer than 10 minutes. 4% of the time we spend on our devices is last longer than 96% of what we spend, our technology in front of us, we spend less than 10 minutes on. We live in an age of information, but very little of it is really absorbed, really very little of it is remembered. The show asked the question, how do people remember anything, even in their short-term memory these days, let alone keeping it in long-term? Are we becoming a people who have no past, who have no memory? And if we don't have a memory of who we are, do we know where we're going? Joseph, Noah, Joshua, they're so far gone in history that it's easy for us to dismiss them as not part of us. They lived and died ages ago. It is only by doing some time traveling, if you will, that these stories have any hope for living in us today. We must see them as family. We must see ourselves in the story. If we have to have any hope that we will remember God in our daily lives. Our brains these days fade quickly. Our mental documents are deleted too abruptly. Okay, wait a minute. We've still got some jumping to do. Here we go. You look around and see that we are all in an office. And by the looks of the orange shag carpeting, it is sometime in the 1970s. Thank you that it didn't last beyond then. A man walks into the office and says, "Hi, Doc." The doctor says this says to this man a number of questions about his past. This man answers everything very politely, accurately, up until the year 1945. After that, he remembers nothing. He has some strange disease. So during that conversation with the doctor, he has to be introduced to the doctor every few minutes because he forgets everything after 1945. Even minutes ago, he does not remember. He would look into the mirror and would continually shock himself with how old he looked. He thought he was much younger. A number of us still have that problem, don't we? This man could not remember anything minutes after it happened. What a terrible condition to suffer from. And I'm concerned that our culture and our church might not be too far different. And without a memory, we are lost souls. That is why we hold the Bible to such high esteem. The Bible tells us over and over again, remember this. Remember these heroes who have gone before you. Remember these family members of yours and mine and what they did. We need to remember that Joseph, that he held a belief that God would work all things for good, even as he sat in prison. Wow! What faith! We need to remember that Noah, who was faithful when no one else on the planet was given a reminder of God's faithfulness through the gift of the rainbow. Do any of us even think about Noah when we see the rainbow anymore? That's our promise too. It's not just Noah's. We need to remember Joshua, who told his people how the time of hardship that they were going through and suffering was about to come to an end if they would just take the land in front of them. These are our stories too. We must take time to remember. Our past shapes us. It guides us. We must remember in a way that sees ourselves a continuation of this story. We must remember in a way that is more than just a cognitive recollection, but it's an active engagement in what we believe to be true. And while we don't live in the eternal now like God does, maybe we can get just a little more glimpse of what it is like to have that type of eternal perspective. We are connected to the past. It is where we come from. This is our story. It guides us to the future. Don't be afraid to time travel a little bit. Because we are both a brief being in history, and yet at the same time, God has made us an eternal being made for infinity. To infinity and beyond. Right? You are more than just your flesh that passes away, is here one day and gone tomorrow. But you must remember that. Will you remember? Oh, one more leap coming. One more leap. Now we are all in separate doctor's offices. And we are looking at the ultrasound of a fetus. And we look over to see the pregnant lady and our jaw drops. It's our own mother. And the fetus is you. We've traveled back in time to the start of our own lives. This concludes our sermon this week. Make sure and join us next week when we continue that story. But I do have a special guest surprise for you. Lisa Kays is going to come up and share a little bit of her story, and you'll find why you'll discover why I've asked her to share regarding the subject of remembering and time travel. Thank you, Lisa.
So did you all hear the pastor promise to take us to the ancient past? Well, here I am. Just going to tell you a small portion of my experience, my story, and I hope that it's a blessing to you today. My mom was 17, a senior in high school, when I was conceived. By the time she found out she was pregnant, my birth father had left the area to attend college in Wisconsin. When he was informed of the situation, he encouraged my mother to give me up for adoption. He had no desire to take on the responsibility. In the meantime, my mom sought counsel from the local Methodist pastor, who led her to Jesus. At the time of her conversion, she committed her life and the life of her unborn baby, me, to the Lord. When I was 7, Mom married Max Hausler, who adopted me and gave me his name. He was a wonderful dad. When I was in my early 20s, Mom told me the name of my birth father and his parents. I attempted at that time and a couple other times over the years to contact him or his parents, but my efforts were fruitless. I took this as the Lord shutting the door for that season. Last year, I felt that it was time to give it one last try. I found some addresses and sent some letters. A few weeks later, I received an email from a bishop of the Mormon Church. My birth father had passed away a few months earlier, and his widow had given the letter to her bishop to handle. His widow also passed the letter on to one of my birth father's sons, who consequently emailed me. I have since developed a relationship with several of my newfound half-siblings. All of this came to a head just as I was involved in a Bible study with some other dear sisters from Hillside. The lessons from that study helped me to process these new experiences and to find healing for the wounds of the past. As I look back, I can truly see God's hand of protection in all of this. My birth father's other children were brought up in the Mormon faith, and they have told me that their father was not a loving father. Rather, he was distant and very critical. I, on the other hand, was brought up in a Christian home with very loving, caring, and encouraging parents. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, the Lord speaking to the Israelites, and he says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years." I've just tucked that verse away in my heart, and every once in a while, I just go back and I remember all the way the Lord has brought me from the time I was that tiny little baby in the womb until I stand here. And if you add this story to all the other wonderful things the Lord has brought me through in several different countries and several different relationships, I can truly say that my journey has been exquisite, and I'm so happy that it's not over yet.
Lisa's life started out a little bit rough. And yet, that's not what she needs to remember. That's not who she is. God redeemed all of that. And now we remember who we are. God, no matter how it all life all started, God formed us. God had a plan. God had a way for us to move forward. But you must remember the truth. You must remember the Word of God and how it formed you and continues to shape you. If you do that, you can time travel all you want. You're going to be where God wants you to be.